Greetings to you once again, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus, in Yahushua HaMashiach, our Lord and our Savior, Master, ruler of this whole thing, even ruler over the devil's kingdom. He's got power over that too. You know why? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, as the Psalms do say. I think either Psalm 23 or Psalm 24. But basically, it's his bat, his ball, his field. He allows this to go on as it does for his purposes to be manifest. Well, what is part of that manifestation? The whole creation groans in eager expectation for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed. Yep. So part of this whole thing that we go through and that we face, and the trials and the tribulations and the triumphs, we have triumphs as well. All of those things that we go through are part and parcel of the revelation of the sons and daughters of God. See, we have to go through these things in order for that to be revealed. Because to him who overcomes, you know, everyone who is in Christ Jesus overcomes. Jesus said to him who overcomes, he said, remain in me, my words remain in you, you bear fruit. He said, look, in this world you will have trouble, John 16, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. We overcome the world because we remain in him. And so when the world attacks, when the world seeks to make our lives tough and difficult and miserable and do all of those things, with everything that it does, the conclusion of the matter is that we overcome because we continue on with him. We press through despite the challenge. We press through despite the attacks of the devil. We press through and maintain our souls. We don't sell out. We don't go the easy way. We don't go the easy path. Because actually, the way of the world is actually quite a miserable path. Because at the close of it, look, they devour their own. There is no... you know what? In the world, the moment that you seek... the moment that you cease to be of any value to their system, they throw you away so fast, it's not even funny. Look, the moment that they don't see a financial, a physical, a strategic, a social association advantage, a social association advantage to your presence, they will drop you like a hot potato. And you have to understand that. You have to understand that that is the way that they see you. As long as you are a resource to be used for their purposes, they will tolerate you. But that's it. That's okay. Look, here's the situation. Joseph, when he was promoted to the second highest ruler in the kingdom, they didn't put him there because they like him. They didn't put him there because he was a nice guy. They didn't put him there. They put him there because they realized that their nation was about to go through something intense. They realized that in themselves, they didn't have the resource necessary, the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding necessary to deal with the problems they were about to go through. And they looked out among themselves and they said, you know what, if there was somebody else that they could have given the job to, they would have. But they recognize, to who else can we give this job? This is the guy. He knows what's going on. He knows what's about to happen. He even gave us an idea of this is the way forward. Let's go with him. And likewise, Daniel, same thing. You know, as long as he's a resource for the king, he's got a position. But, you know, the second the horse breaks his leg that they've been riding on, they shoot it. So, look, don't take it personal. They do that to their own as well. They do that to their own as well. To the extent that they can game you, use you, get something out of you, okay, sure. They will tolerate their own. All about the contacts, all about the associations, all about the buddy-buddy. Hey, old buddy, old pal, old friend. Yeah, that's how it works. See, here's one thing about kingdom people. When they see you, when a kingdom person sees you, they see you for you. They love you for you. They do what they do for you, not because of personal, physical, monetarial, socioeconomic benefit. They do it simply because this is what the Spirit of God has quickened them to do, and they do it. That's it. Kingdom people are like that. Kingdom people obey, and they leave the results in God's hands. You know, they don't do it being tactical. Now, there is an element of wisdom and understanding that we do apply to our lives and our interactions. God gave us the book of Proverbs for a reason. There is so much incredible wisdom in there, in what to do in the situations that you're in and the things that you face. You know, it is to your best advantage to read that book and to meditate on it, because it's going to give you a lot of things for how to go through the world. And if you don't, if you violate the things that are in there, well, there's consequences to that too. So, you know, constantly we face this issue of how now do we live? How now do we go through this life? You know, it's nice when you guys write in. It really is. You know, when we get letters from everybody from different places, because you know what's amazing is, I mean, just think of it like this: God loves you. He loves you enough to put together a random group of people from around the world that help get this side out, to get you a word that will help you along the way, to encourage you to keep on keeping on, to encourage you to not give up, to encourage you to not lose faith, to encourage you to press through. And for you to know that whatever it is that you're going through, that other people are facing the same thing, the same trial, the same tribulation, the same birthing process into the eternal beings that God's made and intended us to be. We have to go through that. You know, a lot of people don't like that process. If you read the story of the seed and the sower, and the seed that was sown on the different soils, a lot of people started out all right, but they didn't make it. The seed is the word. What happened to the word? Well, it got snatched away. It sprouted, but then went off. You just didn't have any roots, so it dried up. Or it got choked out by the worries, the riches, and the pleasures of this life, making it unfruitful. But God has called us to bear fruit. You get through those struggles when you remain in Him. You get through those struggles when you press through. You know, rather than getting out, look to go through. You know, rather than getting out, you got to go through. See, one of the issues that we keep having is that, you know, people want the exit door. You know, Jesus didn't look for the exit door. Jesus didn't look for the exit. Jesus went through. And when the Holy Spirit came upon His disciples, they went through. Before they'd received the Holy Spirit, they were looking for the exit. So when the servants of the Pharisees came in the middle of the night to take Jesus and to betray him, even as Judas had arranged for it, when they came to take him, those that had followed Christ, they wanted the exit at that point. They didn't want to go through. And the call is to go through. Deliverance comes when you go through. Now, what is going through? Well, going through is part of it, and part of even that prayer is, Lord, I'm in something. I don't necessarily like in the natural what it is that I'm facing. But Father, I want to remain in this and go through this until the reason and the purpose that I'm in this situation has been fully accomplished and maximized. And Lord God, you have your way. Use me as a vessel for your purpose. You know, I think, you know, it's interesting because we still very, very often have in our own minds a separation between us and God. And there is no separation for those that are one in Christ. You know, there is oftentimes people like, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Like, you're separate. Jesus' prayer is that they would be one in us. He doesn't want a separation. And here's the other part too, is if you are one in him, then whatever it is that you do is going to be what the Father has you to do. And if your life truly has been bought and paid for by him, then it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter then if you are in a jail cell or struggling or doing really well or financially strong. It doesn't matter. Those things are secondary. They're not relevant. Because if your life truly belongs to him and you are willing to do whatever it is that he says, then the result of that is going to be wherever it is that he sends you, you're going to be all right with it. Whatever it is that he has for you to do, you're going to be cool with that. So if he wants you to go to a dungeon, as in Acts 16, then you go. You know, if he wants you to leave and go to another nation, do something different than anything you've ever known, then you will. Why? Because you follow him. Why? Because you trust him. Why? Because your life is no longer your own. See, that's part of it. You gotta know for yourself that your life is no longer your own. That whatever it is that you do what it is that the Spirit of God has you to do. If you seek something else, you're going to miss him. If you seek your own strength, your own goodwill, your own good fortune to save your life in this world, whoever tries to save his life will lose it. But he who loses his life for Christ and for the kingdom, he will find it. And God wants you to find life. Ask, seek, and knock. If you ask, you shall receive. If you seek, you shall find. If you knock, the door shall be open. God wants you to experience and know the fullness of life. But you only find that when you lose it. You know, some different friends from around the world have been writing in on some of the struggles that they've been having. You know, and I mean, here's the thing. If it's your struggle, then you get to carry it. But if it's the struggle of Christ within you, then he carries it. What did Jesus say? Cast all your cares upon him, because he cares for you. What else did he say? His yoke is easy. His burden is light. You come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, for I will give you rest. I mean, there is a lot of people that, you know, they carry a lot because it's still them carrying it. You know, here's the thing. One thing I realize with, you know, with life and work and so many things that have come up along the way, if it was not for the Spirit of God doing it through me, oh my gosh, I would have been done so long ago. Because I can't. I cannot do in myself, in the natural, the things that are required of me. I don't have those skills. I don't have that capability. In and of myself, apart from the Spirit of God, my limitations are ridiculously low. But when I'm in the Spirit, when I'm in the zone, if you would, of being in connection with Him, when we're in oneness with Christ, work incredible exploits. We tear down demonic strongholds and kingdoms of darkness, and powers and principalities are displaced because of what we do in Christ Jesus. We're not held back by the darkness. We're not displaced and put out. Rather, after having done all, we stand. After having destroyed the works of the devil, we stand. After having fulfilled the ministry and the call of Christ Jesus in and through our lives, we stand. And we leave an impact and a deposit in the earth that goes on from generation to generation and blesses the lives of those that come after us. You know, there's a lot of people that live lives in this world that the time that they spend in the earth was a curse. It was a curse on their families. It was a curse on the people that knew them. And the only thing that they did while they were here was rob, steal, kill, and destroy. And the world is relieved when they're gone. I.e., the world as in the earth that had to carry them and feed them for all the time that they were here. The earth is relieved when they're gone. Whereas the children of God make a deposit in the earth. They make things better. They do things that enhance the lives of those that they encounter. They do things that make it just better. They bless and not curse. They give. They give and receive. They've learned that part too. They spend their lives on behalf of others. You know, the consequence of not following Christ is the consequence of being thrown away. You know, it might sound like a harsh word, but it's much better for you to know the truth now than and to have the chance to adjust than to be deceived and go on a grease pole to hell thinking that you're okay. Thinking that if you go on Sunday to some place and check the register that you're all right. It doesn't work like that. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Man looks at, did you go on Sunday? God looks at, do I own this one? Is this one mine? Is this one in us? No. No, there's a way. There's a way forward, and it is past man's thoughts and understanding. Because you know why too? The world and the world system has been here a lot longer than you and I. And it is designed to capture, ensnare, suck dry, and destroy the soul of man. And without the Spirit of God leading you through, you will fall prey to it. Absolutely. Without the Spirit of God making key choices for you and showing you the way to go, and you obeying and following Him in that, without that, you are sunk. Because He leads and guides us. You know, I remember a long time ago, I was thinking about this, and you know, even there's that scripture, those that are led by the Spirit are the true sons of God. But I was thinking about this, you know, what does it mean? How does this work? And you know, something that God sort of revealed to me, it's like, imagine that your life, that in your life, you for the first time ever learned how to play chess. So you got a little lesson. You learned what the pieces do. You learned how they move. You learned a little bit about how the game is played. And then you were sat down across from Bobby Fischer, who is one of the greatest chess minds that ever lived. And you were sat down across from him, and you were told, okay, now you need to play. And you need to play this game. And the outcome of this game is going to be your life. If you win, you have your life. If you lose your life. You know, that's kind of what you and I are born into. Only the enemy of our soul is much smarter and much more resourced and in further position, and the game is not equally balanced at all, then the enemy of our soul is much further than Bobby Fischer is. But, you know, and he's had a whole lot more time. You know, he's not had just one lifetime. He's had many, many lifetimes of people's existence in this world to understand the human nature, to understand the human condition, to understand the dynamics of what we face and the struggles we face and how we react. And he knows the pieces and the buttons necessary to push to get the result that he wants. He knows that if he can just get people to go a certain way and give their free will, that he can claim their souls. And so, you know, along those lines, you know, what God does is, you know, you sit down across from Bobby Fischer to play that game, and you realize that you are outmatched, outgunned, and you need the Spirit of God to help you. And what he does is he does help you. He tells you pawn A1 or A2 to A4. And then he'll say castle or rook to, you know, B7. And so, like, he will give you the instructions of what you need to do in what you're facing. Now, you don't know the game. You maybe know a little bit about it, but you don't know the game. You don't know where you need to be, what you need to be doing, how you need to be doing it. You know the one instructing you. You know the one that's instructing you. You know that the one that's telling you what to do, that he knows what he's doing. And you know that the one that's telling you what to do was going to help you to go forward and is going to lead you in the right path and lead you in the abundant life. You know that. So because of that, you trust him. And because of that, what he does is, even though you don't know all of the things that are being done and the games that are being played, all of that, even though that's there, you don't have to know it as much as you just have to trust God, because he knows where he needs you to be. And that's why if you give 100% of yourself over to 100% of him who you know, He will lead and guide you all the way. But you can't do it on your own. You cannot play this game out by yourself. You cannot do it in your own natural thinking. There's a proverb that says, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's a way that seems right to us. Oh yes, guaranteed. It seems right. It seems right to go bishop to a7. You think it's right. It looks right, it looks good, but you don't realize it's a trap. And the Spirit of God will tell you, no, don't make that move, make this one. The Spirit of God will tell you, no, go left, not right. He'll tell you, don't work with this person, work with this one. He'll tell you to wait and to listen with earnest expectation and just be still, because He's putting some things together so that you can go forward with good expectation. But He doesn't have everything ready yet for you. You know, one time God said that to me. Was I was just praying about stuff, and He showed me that I was all right. I was ready, but I was in a holding pattern. That at that point, God was just keeping me in a holding pattern and at bay, because there was going to be a window of time soon that He would cut me loose to do something. But until then, He just wanted me in one place and to have a certain way that I was approaching everything. So He didn't need me doing everything under the sun during that time. He just needed me to wait. He literally is telling me, you know, I don't have everything put together for what it is that you are going to do next, in the respect that I'm still waiting. He was still waiting on some other people to get their stuff together so that we can move forward. I didn't know what the situation was, but I was happy that I was in right step with God. I was happy that I was doing what He wanted me to do when He wanted me to do it. I was happy that I didn't miss Him. Because, you know, sometimes when things get quiet, you wonder that. You wonder, did you miss Him? Did you take a wrong step? Are you in the wrong place? Are you in the wrong way? You wonder that sometimes when things get quiet. But, you know, a friend of mine, a very prophetic friend, told me a long time back. She said, you know what, Gwenda? She's like, if things get quiet, and there's a season of that, and if you haven't sinned and put yourself in a difficult spot, that it's just another season. It's another test. It's another deeper level of your walk and your trust. See, if you don't go through these things, I mean, you got to know what it is to love God when things aren't making sense, when things aren't going your way. Do you still trust Him? Like Job said, yea, though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. Do you still trust Him? Or are you with God because of the benefits? Are you with God because things are because of the goodies? There's a lot of goodies Christians out there. You know, they're with Jesus in their own mind, Jesus, the Jesus they made up, because of the social benefit. Or they're with Jesus because, you know, He's the fun thing to do, or the place to go, or they're looking for somebody to marry, or so whatever it is. But as soon as that doesn't happen, do they stay with Him? Do they really love truth? You know, there's a lot of people that say that they love truth, but they really don't. Because the truth is true no matter what. And if you are on a wrong track, that truth is going to be hard to swallow. it's going to be hard to deal with. Because truth is convicting. Truth lays things bare, especially when it's one thing if it's just truth, small t. But if it's big truth, big T, it's tough. Because it forces you to make a decision. And either you change what you do, which is called repentance, or you change what you believe. Because, you know, and that's basically people start to worship a God that's made in their own image. They make something, so rather than aligning with God to line up to His standard, they said, all right, no, this is good enough. We'll stop here and we'll let things be what they are. But God moves on. He wants total obedience from His people. He wants His people to know and understand the truth. He wants His people to live the life that He's called them to live. Because He died that we might have life. And that we might have it more abundantly. Ah, yeah, no, it's good stuff. You know, I get these waves of getting really tired when I try to talk to you guys like this. I mean, it's really not good. It's not healthy to try to drive like this. But anyways, almost to where I need to go. But no, it's all good. You know, don't regret the challenges of life. Don't regret the difficulties that you face, because they're for a reason and a purpose. You know, you got to look at these things. But don't regret the challenges of life. Because too often people look at the challenges and they think they're insurmountable, but they're not. It's just a commitment to resolution. It's just a commitment to making things better. So, no, it's all good. It's all good in Christ Jesus. Yeah. So, no, interesting times in the world. Interesting times in the world. I don't know. I mean, occasionally, you know, people have little comments about some of the stuff. But as far as end times go. But in general, you know, we're here, we're now. God's got stuff for you to do. And He wants you to know Him and follow Him. So keep on keeping on. And just trust Him. And hey, love you guys. God bless you. Drop us an email at faithmix@gmail.com. And, you know, let us know how you're doing out there. Because you know why? We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to know that you're doing well. Or even when you struggle, we'd like to know how to pray for you guys. But, yeah, keep on keeping on. Because you know what? This whole thing comes to an end. And at that point, none of the difficulties that you face will even be remembered. So, you know, you won't have to remember it. You know? So, yeah, just take things one day at a time. Deal with the struggles that are there, but bring it all before the Father and ask Him in prayer. Say, Lord God, how do I deal with this? And He'll show you. He's got a way of showing you. Pretty much every time. So, every time for me. But anyways, hey, just want to let you guys know that it's all good. And God bless you. We love you. Hey, keep on keeping on. Drop us an email. And we look forward to talking to you guys again soon. All right, talk to you later. God bless you. Bye.